Let me speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. My mother taught me never to make a fuss in public. I think she always felt it would reflect badly on her. And so I've grown up to be the kind of person who never makes a fuss in public, which means that often I find myself hotly contending within my own head, rehearsing over and over again the things I should have said to this person or that person in this or that situation. It goes on and on. And I'm sure my mental health is adversely affected by this early indoctrination about never being able to make a fuss in public. And as we travel through the enveloping cool of autumn, a season that always conjures up for me the opening lines of Keats's Ode to Autumn, season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. I am mindful of another season that I secretly dread, that of the parish's annual renewal campaign. When as rector I run the risk of making a fuss and at least provoking among my more conservative parishioners their opprobrium because they consider it bad taste for the rector to talk about money in church. St. Martin's this year offers me a rare experience of not having to peddle financial stewardship quite as hard as I might otherwise, because our annual renewal campaign forms part of a larger process of the renewal works spiritual inventory. And like many parishes, at least Episcopal parishes, we struggle with financial stewardship. Often, this is presented as a budgetary issue, and meeting the proverbial budgetary deficits is an element for careful and, dare I say, prayerful consideration. Yet for us at St. Martin's this year, a community where the financial generosity of its members is regularly demonstrated when it comes to paying for large ticket items like the restoration of the window, we discern that the challenge before us, the challenge of financial stewardship, is to deepen our response to Christ's call to discipleship. By this, I don't mean to suggest the proverbial report card comment, "We must try harder." I'm talking about our need to find a satisfaction for the unnamed yearning of our hearts. Several years ago, when I was on the staff at Trinity Cathedral in Phoenix, I coined the soundbite at this time of the year, opening our wallets as widely as we long to open our hearts. Now, putting glibness aside for a moment, in my own life of discipleship, financial stewardship takes me to the heart of an internal struggle. This is a struggle to overcome the tension between an ingrained attitude of scarcity and the experience of life abundance. To live with gratitude and generosity from a belief that there is always enough, because in my life, the experience is that the enough is more than anything else an attitude of mind and an orientation of heart. An attitude of scarcity often goes hand in hand with an anxiety about making a fuss in public. Both are products of a particular kind of culture. Now, the story we heard in the Gospel this morning, the story about Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, takes place on the outskirts of Jericho. And this is a multi-layered story in a sequence of multi-layered stories that Mark offers us concerning Jesus' road trip to Jerusalem. And the road trip, recalling Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, is for those who travel with him the road trip to discipleship. Mark recounts a number of incidents along the way, and they are all linked by the call to discipleship. Mark chronicles events of blindness and others of clear-sightedness, and the healing of the physically blind becomes a metaphor for another kind of healing, another kind of blindness, the blindness of the mind and the heart, a blindness that repeatedly is displayed by the disciples as they journey with Jesus towards their destination. Now, Bartimaeus is a poor man, not just materially, but spiritually, because when viewed from the perspective of the religious attitudes of his day, his blindness was an indication of his being out of favor with God. And Bartimaeus has placed himself on the roadside so as to not be missed by Jesus as he passes. And when he hears Jesus approaching, he begins to make a fuss. And as others try with some severity to silence him, the crescendo of his fuss-making only increases. Bartimaeus sits by the roadside on the outskirts of Jericho, which in the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, we are told, was the first of the Canaanite towns to fall to the Israelites, who leveled its walls by making a huge commotion of feet tramping, trumpets blaring, and voices shouting. And it's on the roadside, on the outskirts of Jericho, that Bartimaeus takes his place. And he sits making a commotion as he calls out repeatedly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, Bartimaeus' use of this phrase, "son of David," is a code that tells us that he understands who Jesus is. Jesus is his Savior. And Jesus, moving amidst the throng of the crowds, is halted in his tracks, and turning around, he tells them to bring him to me. And Mark then shows us a man, not a blind man who haltingly rises and moves with caution towards Jesus, but a man who throws off his cloak and springs up and rushes towards Jesus. And Jesus asks him the proverbial discipleship question: "What do you want me to do for you?" And we can compare Bartimaeus' response with that of James and John, who we heard last week, as Mark records another incident on the road. They wanted to sit at Jesus' right and at his left. But Bartimaeus responds, "My rabbi, let me see again." And whenever we respond to the call of discipleship, Jesus simply asks us, what do you want for me to do for you? And unlike Bartimaeus, many of us are unable to answer that question. And the point for me of this story lies in the recognition that Bartimaeus receives his sight through an experience that happens within him. There's a psychological word, it's called cathexis. And it means to become emotionally invested in an activity, an object, or an idea. To become emotionally invested. And Bartimaeus becomes deeply invested in the one his heart has been yearning for, because the intensity of his yearning heart creates a moment in which he experiences a profound cathexis, a realignment with God. Now, to obtain that which our hearts yearn for requires a cathexis in us, a realignment that will often follow when we risk stepping outside the boundaries of social conformity and make a fuss, weathering the storm of public rebuke for doing so. Bartimaeus' heart moves from yearning via commotion making to investment. Investment in the one for whom he has been longing. Bartimaeus becomes invested in Jesus and now moves into the relationship that we call discipleship. Now today, after we have this wonderful service in which we are going to have a number of baptisms, always an amazingly glorious event in the life of our community, the Renewal Works leadership team will meet over lunch to review the data of the recent survey that we all completed. Now, it's not for me at this point to speak too much about my impressions of the data. But what I can say, because it relates to Bartimaeus' story, is that our survey results provide a breathtaking result, a breathtaking evidence of the strength of the yearning of our hearts for God in this place. And the possibility for cathexis, for realignment, is in the air. Amen.